Welcome back for our final hour here on Fans and the Pro. No Brian Kelly show. LSU is off. They will take on the Rebels of Ole Miss next week, but we will have kickoff with Boomer and Vellante coming up at 6, and of course it's the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup as we're starting to get deep into the season. October, then we get into the playoffs, and it just gets so much more exciting. The weather is not great tonight. Also, I want to thank all the good folks at Magazine Pizza for feeding our Sports Talk crew on game day. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine. Dine-in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salad. MagazinePizza.com. Chris Jones. Watching him on, just as a play-by-play, watching him on film is not fun. I can't imagine that there's a guy who's, you know, he's a veteran. He's not, you know, he's been around. What year is he? Ninth year?
Chris is probably his ninth year. This is probably his eighth or ninth year. Mississippi State, Houston Hilltoppers. The Houston Hilltoppers. Five-star recruit. Blew up at probably two camps. Three camps. Not even camps. I'm sorry. All-star games. And you could not block him. A lot has not changed for Chris Jones.
I was going to say, that's not good, right?
He is one of the only linemen. Now, there's some other guys that could do it or you do it with. Aaron Donald was probably one of them. But Chris Jones is one of the only, a handful of linemen that can line up at the nose guard. Me and Mike talked about this, our other Mike, Detillier. We talked about this Wednesday. We will see Chris Jones line up at the nose guard, so he can line up directly over center, or he can be in a shade technique. Chris Jones will line up in the three technique, which is over the guard. He'll line up probably at a two eye, inside eye of the guard at some point. Chris Jones will line up as a five technique, and then he's going to line up as a seven and a nine, and all of those are defensive end positions. He will line up on the left side. He will line up on the right side. He is hunting a mismatch. They move him to every defensive line position. He is hunting a mismatch. And they do a good job of it because you can normally you can always say, hey, look, we're going to double to 95. If he's lined up at the nose, my center and guard. The center tells whichever guard to come and he's pulling him with it. If he's going to line up on the right side, my guard and my right and my center, we're going to double. If he lines up at the defensive end over the right tackle, you can normally tell, hey, tight end and tackle.
But don't
you're
you
going
have to make
to
those decisions? If he moves, he lines up in a three eye, and he moves, and now wherever your double team is going
to
be.
Well, if he slides, but it has to be. I mean. The offensive line, the whole line has to slide. So that's where the communication comes in about the offensive line, who you have available, being on the same page. But, no, you do have to make those decisions. If he's on the left side, you know it's the center and the left guard. He's on the right side, yes. And then the quarterback can always check as well, and he can alert the back, the tight end, to we're sliding to number 95. But where I was going with it was – they do a good job defensively of ensuring that he gets the one-on-one. So if they put him over the tackle, they're going to line somebody up over your center or your guard, even if it's the linebacker that just walks up. Because once he walks up, that's basically telling the guy that's over him, he's engaged. That's my guy. Right tackle, I can't help you with number 95. The only way that you can kind of minimize that a little is with slide protection. But then teams are just going to figure out that's what you're doing, and now they're going to send an extra guy that you can't block or away from your slide. So you've got to play little games with them from a protection standpoint of how we're trying to slow him down. But if you don't know where 95 at on Monday night – Mike, me and you may just go get us some coffee, or we may get us some tea and
barbecue.
Just say, we're gonna have some of that anyway, but we're gonna have to have some extra because it is going to be a long night.
Well, if he's picking out, and I'm just playing kind of devil's advocate, because the Saints possibly could have three impacted offensive line positions. I mean, he's
going to take a, it's going to be like a piano. It's just going to be bing, 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 bing. He's just going to be
just taking
a piano.
Just move around.
That's exactly
what
it's going
to be. How do you combat that? Just quick, kind of back to the quick passing game? You can't, or do you run right at him? I mean, what do you do? Help me out. Make me feel. I got a couple of days to try to sleep before Kansas City.
The only way that you can combat it is hope that Chris is comfortable, because he will take some plays off. He will take a game off. There's been situations where it's like, hey, I'm just chilling. So you know how you say sometimes you don't poke the bear? Hopefully the bear isn't poked on Monday. They gave him a little bit more money. I mean, Chris Jones was a guy that, you know, basically set out.
Oh, yeah.
For contract-wise.
I mean, huge fines.
And they couldn't waive him because of where he was in the contract and negotiation. So, I think that he will probably be motivated because it's a Monday night game and he knows everybody will be watching. And then, to be honest, being from Mississippi, there are two teams that you're either pulling from for. New Orleans Saints or the Tennessee Titans.
Or Dallas, depending on where you are. So you got to be close.
Dallas and Pittsburgh have some old school fans. Right. And they have some.
But I get it.
Yeah,
Tennessee
but
and Saints.
It's normally Tennessee Titans and the Saints. That's most of your fan base. Now, he's from North Mississippi. So I don't know if he grew up a Tennessee Titan or a Saint fan. But we can just – you know, you can see a situation where he's mad that the Saints didn't draft him, so he just want to punish the Saints in a sense. I can see that happen as well.
I had a friend of mine, Laura Bucktel, who did weather, and she was the bear, and we never poked the bear. You never poke the bear. So whatever we have to do to Chris Jones, let us not poke the bear. Take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little deeper with Kansas City. We'll talk to Dannon Hughes. He's the former Chiefs wide receiver, also color analyst for KC Radio. That is coming up next. The 4-0 Chiefs, Monday Night Football, back here on Fans in the Pro, WWL AM FM, and always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, Fans in the Pro. Mike Ost, Deuce McAllister. We are joined now by Dannon Hughes, who played wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs 1993 to 1998. He is now the color analyst for Chiefs Radio. Welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing fine right now. I guess, you know, maybe we have to wait until Monday night to see, you know. But all things considered, doing all right. And so it's funny, you know, you look at this Kansas City team, right? And so if I just handed you this sheet of paper and you said, all right, so turnovers on offense, 7, 28th in the league. Turnovers on defense, 3, 23rd in the league. Their turnover differential, minus 4, 29th. Scoring, 23, 14th. You know, they've got 6 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. The 5 picks are 30th in the league. If I said, what team is this? I don't think anybody would say Kansas City, but they are the epitome of find a way, anyway. They've been down, I think, in every game, and you just find a way. This is, if you're an other coach, you go, you want to see how it's done? This is how you finish.
Yeah, it is pretty weird, but actually, if you look back last year's Super Bowl run, there were a lot of not so bright points that were associated with the Chiefs in that Super Bowl run. The drops that we had as a wide receiving core, the giveaway takeaway. Like when I played under Marty Schottenheimer, like we would never, ever be minus 11 in giveaway takeaway. And I don't know if there's ever been a team that's ever made it maybe even to the playoffs or even to the Super Bowl with a giveaway takeaway at that level. But yet, as you mentioned, it's just about finding a way to win. And there have been teams around. You guys have been around for a while. I remember Deuce playing, and he's seen a lot of football as well. Like, there's just teams out there that figure out ways to win, and there's teams that figure out ways to lose. And I always like to throw a little playful jab to the interdivision rivalry, like the Chargers, who we beat And last year, I'd say the last few years under Brendan Staley, like if they would have just figured out ways to win close games, he'd still be coaching there. They would have probably beaten the Chiefs several times during that run and during this Patrick Mahomes era. But it always seemed to get to a point where a game is close, fourth quarter comes around, might not be playing our best football, and then we just put something together and make something happen. And, like, ugly wins are still wins. It's unfortunate that it's associated with us in with those numbers, but, like, there's a lot of teams out there that are 2-2, 1-3, with some better numbers, better stats, that wish they were 4-0.
That's us. That's the Saints.
Well, and that's exactly what I was going to say, because it's almost, and it's like the belief, not only of the head coach, but it starts with the quarterback that, hey, he's going to give us a chance to be in this game. We've just got to believe that we're in the game when that situation comes about.
Yeah, you know what? It's also the mindset of we're never out of the game. So it's both, like, we're in the game, but then there's a concept of, hey, we're never out of the game. And if you look at this Chiefs run, the two-time Super Bowl champs back-to-back, look at the games last year. Look at the games this year, being in Atlanta and having to make a stop of them driving the ball down the field, being a toenail away from a loss against the Ravens on opening night, the Cincinnati Bengals having to come back and hold them down as much as we did. Like, it's not just about finding a way to win, but always feeling like, okay, guys, like, let's go ahead and win this one. Like, if they're going to let us win it, we're going to go ahead and win it. And if you look at the course of this season and even into last year, the playoffs, Super Bowl, et cetera, down by double digits, making magic happen, it's just a knack for this team. And if you look at the sideline, like I've always said, you can tell a lot about what people believe or what other teams think about the coach that you have by the post-game handshake. Like Andy Reid, you can tell, like, we had Todd Haley. We had other coaches here that weren't necessarily in high regard around the league, and you'd always had some friction with another team, but never the case with Andy Reid. You never see that. But one other thing you never see is on the sideline, you don't see people freaking out. Like, you don't see anybody, like, getting outside of themselves. Yeah, there's some competitive juices that flow with Travis Kelce, sometimes Patrick Mahomes. But in close games, what you see is just a team that's like, all right, guys, I'm going to look around left and right. Let's go ahead and win this one. Whatever way we got to do it, we got to do it. And that, there's even Tyron. I'm sure Tyron can say something about that. Willie Gay Jr., Colin. I mean, the guys that have played it with this organization, it's something special to witness the calmness of the sideline and the focus that they keep when other teams seem to maybe get outside themselves.
Well, I got to ask you, offensively, being down a couple receivers and, you know, not having your starting running back and all of that pressure going to Mahomes and Kelce and just how they've been able to handle it, or you look at it, how do you generate offense? You know, just because you know kind of where the bracket is going to go and some other guys having to have to step up.
Yeah, I just think that there's confidence throughout this roster, and depth is something that, you know, a lot of teams are desperate for, but it always seems like we have figured out how to assemble a roster under Brett Veach and Andy Reid over the course of, you know, these last 7 years since Patrick has been here, and even beyond that when Alex Smith was the quarterback. There always just seems to be the guys that are waiting in the wings that, although they may not be able to put eye-popping numbers, they make plays when it's necessary. And when you look at our team, Xavier Worthy coming in as a rookie, Mecole Hardman making his second time around here in Kansas City, guys like, you know, that are just dependable guys in the running back room. I mean, how huge is it for us to get Kareem Hunt back and him to get back in good graces here in Kansas City and then be able to contribute the way he did in his first game of the season, first action of the season last week. So, like, it's just next man up mentality. They don't really change a lot that goes on. Now, this week is going to be interesting because, you know, obviously we'll go into the game without Rashee Rice. You know, we won't know who's going to be the guy and who's going to step up and take that role on. And if Xavier Worthy is ready for more food on his plate, so to speak. And because I believe, you know, that 4.21 speed, as Deuce, you know, 4.21 speed, you probably can get that at 20 plays a game. You start putting 40 plays, 45, 50 plays a game on a wide receiver, that we'll see how that 4.21 translates. I mean, to me, with that speed, you don't want him to be out there winded and playing at a 4.5 clip. That's the speed that we drafted. That's why you got to kind of spoon feed him into the offense so he's always that threat to make a big play like he did last week. So somebody's got to step up. Patrick Mahomes has always been a guy that has moved the ball around, shown that he's comfortable with receivers out there. He's not like Tom Brady and the other quarterbacks that we've seen in the past that will ice a guy out because he ran the wrong route. Patrick will go right back to him. And I think that's something as a former wide receiver that I would love to be a part of, is to know that as long as I'm on the field, there's some magic that I could be a part of as long as I'm doing the right thing. So it's next man up mentality.
And so we're still waiting. Obviously, Mecole Hardman, who was limited yesterday, did not practice today. Mm-hmm. But that is a position, you know, they're still – it's just Friday. But you know, I guess by his standards, it's been a slow start for Kelce. But I don't – that doesn't mean a whole lot to me, because it just takes one, right? It just took that deep pass against the Chargers. And it doesn't – he don't have to catch 10 passes. If he catches 4 passes and 2 of them are touchdowns, he's done his job.
Absolutely. I think he's really shown his maturity and, you know, obviously showing some frustration, but there's only but so much frustration you can show when you're still winning football games. As a competitor, you want to be a part of everything, even the wins, even if you're winning. But Kelce has shown, like last week, there's been a couple of times where he's caught passes, deep passes, that probably would have reignited him during any of these 4 games that were called back because of penalty. And, you know, he's been able to kind of go with the flow, but he also knows it's a long season. He's been an iron man for this organization. And as you mentioned, there can be a 10-catch, 120-yard game or multiple games like that that have put him right back on schedule with his production that he expects every single year. He's just under 1,000 yards last year. Could have gotten it if we would have opted to play him in Game 17 last year. But we didn't need to, and he was mature enough to sit on the sideline and know that we had the playoffs and ultimate Super Bowl that was ahead of us, so there was really, really no reason to be chasing numbers. I don't see him changing from that this year. He's not going to go out there chase numbers. He just wants to be a part of winning.
From the aspect of, obviously, me and Mike, we were talking about it off air, you know, Kelce has played in and will play in a ton of primetime games, but with it being Monday night, will there be any additional maybe gas or heat, you know, from the fans, from the players, that it's a highlight opportunity? I mean, it's a showcase game. They're the only game on television, so I want to go out there and put a show on.
Yeah, I'm sure there is, but it's kind of been par for the course, and I don't want to sound like pompous or we're arrogant right now, but we opened the season the last 2 years on Thursday Night Football because we won the Super Bowl. We've played primetime game already in Atlanta. This is another one. The other big thing is that the Royals are playing in the postseason that same night against the New York Yankees. We'll be here in Kansas City. They'll be in New York. That first pitch is an hour before our game. So tailgating, the entire day is a festivity for all the Chiefs fans and the Chiefs kingdom, but you're going to have that extra juice that people are going to be like building up to the Royals game, then coming over to Arrowhead Stadium and watching the Chiefs. And I'm sure they're going to have cut-ins on the Jumbotron at Arrowhead Stadium of the Royals, and they're playing, and hopefully they're winning. So it's a huge weekend for everybody here in the Chiefs kingdom between the Kansas City Royals and the Chiefs. But Monday Night Football is still king. You know as well as I do, Deuce, when the schedule used to come out, I don't know if you did it in this order, but it was like, okay, where's the bye week? How many primetime games we got? Who are we playing on Monday Night Football? And are we playing at home? And that's how you kind of looked at the schedule back in April when it would come out. that's how these guys are, but they're used to being on center stage now. We've been down this road.
And I would say, because you weren't being pompous, you guys earned it, right? You didn't get that for...
It's just the truth.
It wasn't a gift, yeah. Right? You opened up on Thursday. You had a Sunday. You're playing us on Monday. You play Tampa on Monday. You have a Friday night game. You have a Sunday night game after that. And the rest of them, a couple of three, you know, are 3:25 games. It's a... When you guys play noon, that's when it's a news story, when you play a noon game,
yeah.
Right?
Well, we play every day of the week this season except for Tuesday. We play on a Wednesday, which is Christmas. And Tuesday we travel for that Wednesday game at Pittsburgh. So, like, this is a uncharacteristic season in regards to the Chiefs and their game schedule. We'll play every day of the week, which I don't think that's ever been the case that I can remember, except for Tuesday, and that's a day that we'll actually travel. So talking about, you know, the Chiefs and almost being a seven-day type of party throughout this season, that's what's going to make it a fun season.
The last thing that I have, I'm just curious because you've not probably played your A game. I'm taking a Tiger Woods line, but mm-hmm. You know, you're still 4-0, and you look at the Saints team and, you know, who have dominated. There are a lot of charts and stats, but who gives a crud when you're 2-2? I'm just wondering, from your perspective and the Chiefs' perspective, what is it about this Saints team that would worry you?
So I will tell you this. What was the most impressive, I know that the last two losses have been troubling and maybe have opened up the door for some doubts in regards to the Saints, their capabilities, and maybe the fan base worrying or what have you, losing two close games like they did. But to me, what stands out is the way they won the first two. And it wasn't so much that I was surprised about their defense because, you know, pretty much since Cam Jordan has been there, you guys have been pretty solid on defense for several years now. What was surprising and eye-opening was the offensive numbers that you guys were putting up. Right now, you guys are averaging 31.8 points per game. That's first in the NFL. You're top 10 in net yards per game. Top 10 or top 5 in multiple categories offensively. So, like, I think that's probably been an eye-opener to a lot of Saints competitors or competition coming into this season, and obviously it's the same for the Chiefs this week. It's not so much about the 2-2 record because it really was just about one or two possessions that got you guys from being 4-0 to 2-2. The points that you guys are putting up offensively should be concerning to anybody that you guys will face this season. And I'm sure that Steve Spagnuolo and this defense for the Chiefs definitely recognize the firepower that you guys can put forth.
Well, we hope that we do see a little bit of that game 1-2. We haven't seen much in the last 2 weeks, but they've also still been in position to win the football game. It's going to be a glorious day. Monday at Arrowhead, 70 degrees is going to be the high, be down into the 50s in the evening. So looking forward to it. Really appreciate your time on a Friday evening to spend some time with us. Danny Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, now the color analyst for KC Radio.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great weekend.
Great.
Thank you. You too.
We'll talk to you on Monday. Take a break. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. Got about 20 more minutes left in today's show before it's the kickoff with Boomer and Valenti. Valenti, I should say. And we'll be back after this here on Fans in the Pro, WWLAMFM.com. Always free in the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister here. As we wrap up Fans in the Pro up until 6 o'clock on this Friday, don't forget, thanks to all the good folks at Magazine Pizza for feeding our sports team crew on game day. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine, dine-in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. That's magazinepizza.com. And hopefully the weather will slack off. It looks like it has. Tonight is Gleason Graw, the 12th Gleason Graw. It's at Generations Hall. Go to gleasongraw.org to get any information. Hopefully they got some tickets left, but man, it's such an uplifting thing to 12 years of what that man has given back and, you know, so much. And glad to see that's tonight. And
yeah, I think the patrons party starts at 7 o'clock.
Right,
7 to 8, and then the regular Gleason Glaw regular tickets is from 8 to 11 at Generations Hall. So if you haven't gotten your tickets, I think it's business casual, or you know, of course they'll accept you as you are, just like at the church, come as you are.
That's right.
But 12 years, fantastic job that Steve and his foundation. What they've been able to do, and man, definitely if you can get out, go out and support it.
I had talked to him prior to his diagnosis, and it was a story about him being just this kind of, you know, journeyman, probably wouldn't be on many NFL teams, but he's had that kind of desire and guts for a special team. This is before everything, right? Or we were walking up and down the canal. It's right around mid-city.
Long flowing locks. Right. You know, long hot locks. And it's just like, you know, I don't know if he's an outside linebacker. I don't know if he's a safety. You know, but I know one thing you're going to get from him. Steve is going to give you 100% everything that he had out on that field. And that's how he was able to carve out the special teams deal. And you're talking about when the rules were not in favor of a player, particularly on kickoff. And Steve would be the wedge buster. Every time he's running down, he is outman, outweighed. He's taking on three guys, and he is busting the wedge. And together – he's probably outweighed by 450 pounds. One guy alone probably weighed at least 275. Steve may have been 180, soaking wet.
You can't anoint special teams players.
No.
You can't just say, you're special teams. You got JT Gray, DeMarco Jackson, Andrew Dow.
It starts with some want to.
Right. That's what I mean.
It starts with some want to, and everybody don't want to.
Right.
And that's just being
Levi
honest.
Sewell.
Yeah, it starts with some want to, and it's not easy.
Nah.
And so when you can do that, most people may not respect you, but I can guarantee you, the guys on your team, they respect you, particularly when you were taking on the wedge, and they outlawed that.
Dan, and ask you, because it means so little to me, talking about Xavier Worthy in a 4-2-1.
Yeah.
Like, I don't. That doesn't
no.
You know what I mean?
No,
that doesn't mean anything.
Did he say 4-2-1 or 4-1?
He said, I wrote down 4-2-1, but that doesn't mean anything.
Fast.
I mean, that's hard to imagine.
That is the fastest. I mean, that is fast. Now, he young man that played at Texas, he can fly.
Yeah.
You got to get your hands on him. You know, because
they love to jet sweep him too.
Well, that's why.
Yeah.
And so if I get jet sweep, I want to get more to my hands on him, because if I can catch him before he gets going, you just want to get him the ball, because he is so fast. He's so explosive. But he's light. And that's why I said you got to get your hands on him, because you can knock him off. And then that's the other part that he spoke about. If they can limit him to 20 plays, then he is going to be able to hit pretty fast every time. With losing – Rice and some other guys, I don't know if he can get the top speed enough. And that's where I can beat him up a little bit. And he's not going to get looks every play. But there's not many plays where I'm going to say, hey, look, Xavier or Worthy, I'm going to just let you have free access and let you be able to blow by me. Now, I want to get my hands on you, and I got to know that my safety's got to be over the top.
And it's amazing. We'll have to wait and see, because they got another receiver hurt. They still have Juju.
You got Juju.
And you got Jalen, I believe, Watson.
None of them scare me like Worthy.
No, yeah, good gosh. So anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back, get our final thoughts here as we work our way to 6 o'clock. Saints in Kansas City, 2-2 versus 4-0. Then the Saints come home for 2, right? This game can kind of set the stage. You go up and steal one against the AFC, come back, you're 3-2 with 2 home games, one of them being Tampa, one of them being Sean. Who knows? We'll talk about that on the next side of the break. This is Fans in the Pro. Mike Costus McAllister back after this. WWLAMFM.com, always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. We're just the final few minutes here before 6 o'clock. Deuce has a high school game to get to. I have a tea time. What, Mike? You have a tea time? I will be at the upper deck at Caesars Superdome. I'll be working And so I'm interested to see. I just got to see it. I got to see it. I watched Tiger Woods hit a ball off of an ice rink here back in 2000. I got to see it.
So I got a question.
Because I did invite you, by the way.
Let's I know it, and I apologize that I can't make. No. But will you have your own clubs?
My clubs are sitting in my office now. It was the most embarrassing thing I've ever had to do was to haul my golf clubs into my office.
I would not have been embarrassed.
I mean, it just didn't look right.
It doesn't look right. It's not right.
I have a briefcase, but they got Upper Deck at the Superdome today and tomorrow. So, you know, I'll have some pictures and some video of the good stuff. If I shank it into the stands, you ain't going to see it.
No, and so they probably have nets and everything up, and you know, a crew will come and kind of clean up if some golf balls. Are they true golf balls, or are they the Nerf balls?
They're their golf ball. You bring your own club, but I think you use their golf balls. For whatever, because to me, the hardest part is when they land, you're hitting way high, green is the turf, but there's like circles, but that's concrete under there, right? That's not the so I don't know. I've not seen it. Just I've seen the course, so to speak.
Well, I do apologize that I cannot make it, but it should be a ton of fun and a lot of festivals. We talked about Gleason Graw.
Yep.
I think Fried Chicken Festival.
Ooh.
Is this weekend as well?
I can't do fried chicken unless I'm alone in a dark room.
No, you can do it. You just don't want everybody else to see you do
that's
it.
That's what I mean. But it's got to be alone in a dark room. It's
it
not
has
pretty.
Grown. It
it's
has
primal.
Grown to a fried chicken festival, and I didn't know this, has grown to a must-do.
Yeah.
Must-do event in New Orleans. And so what I was always frustrated about it, knowing about it the last couple of years, they normally have it when we aren't in town.
Right.
We normally are not in town when they have the festival, so hopefully the weather holds up and – you know, we know that one of the reasons we got some of the rain is because of the
system
that's down in the Gulf.
Right.
And I don't think that we're going to
– I don't think it's going to materialize.
Yeah, affect us. And if it does, it's probably sending rain over to Florida.
Right.
So.
But we know Kansas City is going to be fine, outdoor, natural grass, 70 degrees during the day, 51 at night. Man, it's going to be good football weather.
A bunch of barbecue.
Yeah. I got to get it. It took me like 2 weeks to get, where were we? The sausage, the hot dog, in Green Bay.
Uh-huh.
The not worse, right? It took me forever. The brats.
Whatever they call
it. I couldn't do it. So I'm going to get me some barbecue early on Monday. Saints, get a victory. Don't fall into this trap. The Chiefs could be 0-4 or whatever. They're 4-0. They're the two-time defending champ. You go, as Deuce says, and punch them in the mouth. Right?
Did I say that?
Well, you said it for Dallas. I'm just.
Oh no! You punched them in the mouth.
But don't do that. What do you do? Elbow this team? You got to do something.
Yeah, you elbow them.
Elbow them. All right. Thanks for listening, fans of the Pro, everybody. Boomer and Valenti coming up next, and of course, it's the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Have a great weekend. We will talk to you on Monday. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Charlie Long in the booth as well.